Welcome to the Carlosophies podcast with me, Carly Nimmo. This is a free flow combo.
So I just wrapped up a launch of Radcasters Live, which was Radcasters, my 6-week No Idea to iTunes course, plus, like, so it's kind of like a live version, so you get access to the course, access to the community, and 6 live weekly group calls with me in a really small group. Anyway, it went terribly in some ways. So essentially, I put a lot of work into it. I wrote some emails, sales emails that I thought were really good. I approached it from a more aligned place. So I wasn't, you know, buying into the formula, but instead really honoring myself and doing all the things that I'm supposed to in order to have, you know, a successful launch, of course, monetary wise, but also a successful launch where I felt it was successful because it really aligned me with my message. And I put in, you know, I've spent quite a bit on Facebook ads and did a webinar, which was just, it was, everything just kind of went wrong. So my webinar, which I usually get, you know, around 50 people, had 13 sign up, even though I'd spent the same amount of money on Facebook ads. I threw a few $100 towards retargeting and then costs of people on my team to put it all together. So it wasn't hugely expensive, but I'd say I probably spent maybe around $1,500, which if you've heard me speak lately, cash flow has been an issue. So it's not cash that I had spare lying around. It's cash that would have gone to pay or gone towards paying my tax bill or myself. And the launch didn't fly. I didn't have a single sign up. And that is devastating to anyone, but perhaps not me anymore. So, I mean, there was, I think I only cried once, which is unusual because if something like this happened any other time, well, in fact, the last time it did happen, I bawled all week. Like, I cried every day. This time I cried once, and it wasn't even necessarily about the fact that no one had signed up. It was more about the fact that, you know, oh, long story short, but I mistakenly tried to talk to Mikko about it, and Mikko is a fixer, so he wants to fix the problem, not just hold space for me while I, you know, verbalize what's going on for me. He doesn't have tolerance for that. He just goes straight into, well, why are you bothering? Just leave it, you know, move on, forget Radcasters, it's caused you nothing but pain. Because he sees the moments where I am crying. He doesn't remember that there's like 95% of the time where I'm not. And for him, like, it's actually pretty valid because he was with me through the Office Collective stuff. So he's seen me cry every day for a year and feel powerless and helpless. And of course he wants to fix that, but sometimes we just need the space to process it, right? And we just need to get the emotion out and move through it so we can be on the other side of it. And it makes me wonder, or makes me think about how many people are like that, you know, and it's been something that I've learned to do, to instead offer advice or well-intended advice, of course, or judgment or whatever, just to actually hold space for someone when they're going through something big. They don't necessarily need advice. They don't need to know how to fix it. And often I feel like people are uncomfortable with other people's pain, so they want to go and fix it, but that actually says more about them than the person who's feeling the pain. You know, it's about them wanting to fix that person because that pain makes them uncomfortable, not actually about the person in pain. I know that it can be, but mostly it's about you being uncomfortable with the situation, when it's actually more helpful to the person if you just let them feel it and let them know that it's okay that they feel it. Anyway, that's a big side tangent, but something that I think is really important to say. So, and I will be saying something very similar in my book, which I'm back to working on. And that's really, I guess, what allowed me to keep going through this failed launch. You know, and I've had people say, stuff like, oh, but you know, this person only had 3 people in their first launch. It's like, yeah, that would be cool if it was my first launch, but it's not. I've been running this business for almost 2 years. To have a launch where no one joins when you're 2 years into your business is not the same as your first launch. It's not the same as your second launch. It's not the same as your third launch. You know, this is a business that I've been running now for a while, and I've seen that it works, and I've seen the people who have done it get the results. And, you know, and it's been difficult to admit defeat on this, I guess. But, and this is why I wanted to talk about this today, because I feel like there are so many of us out there pushing a dead horse up a hill. And we're sold this idea that winners never quit and quitters never win. And I actually think that's total bullshit. And I also think that pushing a dead horse up a hill does nothing. you're never going, you know, like what is going to happen? You're going to push that dead horse up the hill, and then what? You're just on top of a hill with a dead horse. Woohoo! You know? So I think sometimes walking away from something can actually be the best thing you do. You know, and failed launches can really be something to be incredibly grateful for. And that's what happened in this particular case. Instead of me being all like, you know, oh God, another failed launch, I'm a fuck up, I'm a failure, everything I does turns to shit. All those usual stories that go through my head when I do something and it doesn't have a big impact. You know, I've done it a lot now, and it does not mean that I'm not capable of running a good business. I run a good business. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with me. It just is really an opportunity to stop, take stock, and re-pivot, you know? I think hanging on to something because you think you should is not the right reason to be doing something. You know, what this launch really highlighted to me was that I don't want to be the person who just teaches podcasting. I'm here for a much bigger message than that. And I'm limiting myself when I'm putting all of my eggs in one basket, being teaching people to podcast, because I have the skills and it makes sense. And at one point it did make money. And so I took that to mean this is the thing. And so I kept on with it and kept on with it because A, it's sitting there, B, it works, and C, you know, it has the potential to bring me in good money, but it's not. And I can choose to keep throwing money at this. It feels like, you know, that 80-20 rule where 80% of the work you do brings in 20% of the income, or you see 20% of the results for 80% of the work. And I have a business that is 20-80 that I do, you know, that I put in not even 20%, and I get 80% of my income from that. So why, unless I was absolutely super passionate about what I did, would I continue to exert 80% of my energy? Actually, right now, it's like 95% of my energy for none of the return. So, I mean, I'd have to be fucking mad to keep going and trying it again. But I've been on this hamster wheel of, you know, it's not wanting to quit because I quit with the Office Collective, and sometimes maybe I think I quit too soon. But I also feel like I didn't quit too soon, because when I see someone running a co-working space successfully, I don't get a pang of jealousy. I don't wish that I was still doing that. You know, that's not there. But I can see that if I had the capacity to stick with it longer term, then I could have made something of it. But if there's one thing I've learned, it's fail and fail fast. Try something, see if it works, and if it doesn't, it's okay. It's totally okay. So now, not only have I failed once, big, you know, I failed hundreds of times. And the more I do it, the easier it gets. And the more I do it, the closer to something really working I get. I'm just weeding out the shit right now. And the good is within my grasp, you know? And all these lessons in failure have built up a resilience so that now I'm not going to be as attached to something needing to happen when I do reach my thing. Not that I'm necessarily believe in one thing, but I definitely believe that in my message. And so the more I move towards just not needing it to be anything because I know I'm okay regardless, the more fun I can have, the more enjoyment I can have, the less validation I'm seeking. Because I know I have a damn good product there. I know I do. People have done it. And the people who have done it have told me how amazing they think it is. But my problem has come in my attachment to it needing to do something for me. That need, you know? And need comes from a place of lack. It's really a scarcity mindset that makes us need or really want something. And right now I'm really moving away from need and want and into a place of just being okay. Acceptance, I guess. Acceptance that if nothing else changes, it, you know, it doesn't make me any less valid as a human being. It doesn't make me any less worthy. It doesn't mean that I won't have lived a fulfilling life just because I haven't, you know, become a seven-figure entrepreneur yet. And if I died tomorrow, which I hope I don't, but if I did, I can tell you that that wouldn't be my regret. In fact, there wouldn't be a regret. I don't think there'd be a regret. Maybe that I didn't. Maybe that I didn't back myself fully in some, well, in the areas that I really wanted to do. So, you know, I'd probably regret that I hadn't finished my book. But I wouldn't regret the failures that I've had, because they've all been leading me to this. Whatever this is and whatever this will be is okay. So I really wanted to share this with you because I see so many people not doing what they want to do and instead doing what they think they should do. And things are going to fail. Not everything is going to work. But I'm living proof that do it enough and the failure won't really matter. In fact, it doesn't. It really doesn't. It's just feedback. I know that sounds like a cliche, but it truly is. It's like what this failed launch taught me was that... Are you right, mate? You okay? Was that there's other things I want to be doing with my time other than teaching people to podcast. And so why not do them? Why not try some more things? Because they'll fail? And then what? You can try something else. Anyway, there's a couple of things that I just want you to take away from this. One, it's okay for you to walk away. If something isn't working for you, if your heart isn't feeling it, it's okay to walk away. Two, regardless of where you are or what you're doing with your time, you're not what you do. You're not what happens to you. You're separate from that. So the failure you experience is not you. The work that you do is not you. So when it happens, you know, it's not about your capability as a human being. It's not about your worthiness. There's other factors at play. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say about my office collective that I was just ahead of my time. And that hurts. You know, that hurt. Well, it doesn't hurt so much anymore. But I've always been ahead of my time. And that can be a curse because then I've got to stick with things the long game. And see, this is why I've stuck with Radcasters so long, is because I thought, well, maybe I'm just quitting before something shifts. And that's not a good enough reason to keep going with something on the off chance that it'll shift. If it's not what you want to be doing and it's not where you want to be putting 80% of your attention, then shift. You know, the thing is, like, you know, I create this podcast, I have my Show Up Speak Up group, I do a lot of things in there that I love. I love doing that stuff. And so I'm happy to continue doing it, even if it never makes me a cent. Because I can't not do it. And I think that's what we're all looking for, right? The thing we can't not do. And for me, it's share my lessons, share my learnings, share my story. Even if it takes me to some pretty uncomfortable places. And even if it means that some people are going to listen to me and go, oh my God, this woman is like a weirdo. Does she want any clients? Who's going to want to work with her? All she does is talk about how many times she's fucked up. Who would want to learn from that person? And that's cool. My job isn't to make people want to work with me. My job is to be me and doing that. You know, might make one of people want to work with me. It might not. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because I'm going to do it anyway. So I guess that's really the lesson. And I think maybe beforehand, I just couldn't see for looking, that this was what I was here for. And maybe, you know, my perception of what was possible didn't include me just speaking my message and being supported in doing so financially. But it is possible, and so is whatever you want. Whatever you can think is possible, or you've, you know, that you look for evidence as to, for in terms of me, right? So what do I want to be doing? I want to be telling my story. I want to be sharing my lessons and learnings. I want to be having really, you know, open and honest conversations. And is there anyone out there who is doing that currently? Yeah, for sure. There are plenty of people who make money and are supported very well through doing exactly that. Liz Gilbert, Oprah, you know, there's plenty. Danielle Laporte. These are people who are just living a message. So is it, if it's possible for them, it's possible for me. And whatever you, whatever your big, bodacious, crazy-ass dream is that you are telling yourself isn't possible, just entertain for a moment that it is. Look for evidence that it already exists. And then, really, all we need to do is have an incredible amount of trust that we can make that shit happen. And this is where I find myself right now. I've gone through trying everything else and it hasn't really worked. So what have I got to lose? Nothing. I've proven again and 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 again that failure doesn't really exist. And it was a long way around for me to discover this, because it's really the reason I started this podcast, right? Coming out of this big business failure, wanting to find out how other people dealt with it, what they thought about failure. And now, pretty much 2 years on, I've come back to the fact that through another failure, the failure doesn't really exist. It purely is feedback. It's just your inner GPS telling you to shift. Whether that is shift what you're doing or shift your perspective, shift. Anyway, that's it from me today. As usual, if you really got something out of this, I love hearing from you. So please don't be shy. Reach out to me. And if you're, excuse me, and if you enjoy burping on podcasts, or if you've been listening for a while, even if this is your first time, welcome, Carlos of his Virgins. I would love for you to stick around, and I would love even more for you to join my Show Up Speak Up group. It's just in Facebook, and we have a lot of fun in there. I share a lot more than I get the opportunity to share here, because I can share there 2 or 3 times a week. So if that sounds of interest to you, I would love to see you there, and I invite you to join. And until next time, peace out.
Thanks for tuning in to this Carlosophies Free Flow Combo with me, Carly Nimmo. Let's continue the conversation at carlynimmo.com. If you were a big fan of this podcast, I'd be stoked if you left a review. And if you want to hear more radness like this, be sure to subscribe and spread the word. In the meantime, be real, be rad. Peace out.